Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. So, like, what do you do? What do you do? Because they have to know this is very bad.
Yeah, I think they do know. It's so hard to parse what Andy says, because, like, what is he going to say except, like, we like these women and want to keep working with them? Like, that's his job to kind of keep morale up or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like,
and because he might believe it. He might be like, whatever.
He might believe it. I mean, I think no matter what happens, like, several of them will be fired, whether it's a full reboot or not. They're not going to keep this cast as is.
I feel like they're going to keep everybody and add on, like, Rebecca is, like, one of the handbags is going to become full time. Like, I don't think
so grim.
I just don't trust anyone related to this. And I'm concerned. You know how sometimes people are like, well, just dig in. I really would prefer that they not do that.
I totally agree.
Hot take. I don't think Brynn's going anywhere.
I really don't know.
She's so bad at this.
She's so bad at it.
Unless you want to look at it as, you know, she's really, to me, grating and triggering and nothing.
But not in a way that makes you want to watch.
No.
Like, she's not, like, there are people who, like, really get under my skin, but I still want to watch and find out what they do next. And with her, it's just like, I think the self-producing and the producing of other people is so, so bad and so damaging to the show that I'm like, she's probably the biggest problem with the season.
Okay, can I ask you a question? As a member of the LGBTQIA+ community?
I also hate that she does that, like, gay baity stuff. I don't, like, I think that, listen, I think sexuality is fluid, and I think it's, like, I get kind of annoyed when people are like, oh, it's so gay baity to do this thing, because it's, like, you know, maybe someone is having some feelings or urges or whatever, we should let them explore that without worrying about how they're defining themselves. With her in particular, it's so clearly performative that I'm like, shut up. Shut up. And also her storyline with Gideon, right? That's his name.
Yeah, I would fuck him tomorrow.
Sure, absolutely. But, like,
and in the car. That, and one of those, like, $9 million cars.
One of the least believable scenes.
He probably doesn't own. Probably was sent to him by production to be like, you're a car. No, I think that's actually his work, but he's a car dealer. Anyway, like a fancy
one
car
of
dealer.
The least believable scenes I've ever seen was, like, her inviting him over and being like, do you want to have a baby with me? And him being like, oh, for sure. Like, yeah, let's do it right now. And I was like, you mean to tell me that she sprung this on him? And I know that lots of scenes on Housewives happen that way, but it was just, like, so clearly not real of him being like, yeah, let's do it.
Cut to the most recent episode where she's like, he went off to whatever in Europe instead of dropping his, you know, gentleman stuff at the lab or whatever. How dare he? And I'm like, but none of this.
You're not having a child with him. Be serious.
The thing that, like, kind of sticks with me with Brynn that I find really frustrating is the way that she presented herself as a, like, a victim of content creators making, like, jokes or whatever, which we're known to do, some of which cross lines, absolutely, about the fact that, like, we never saw her on camera work the entire first season of Real Housewives of New York. So, like, if someone is making a joke or whatever of, like, why have we not seen her work, her saying, like, it's like hashtag systematic bullying from content creators. Meanwhile, like, shouldn't you have a conversation with production or yourself about why we're not seeing a multifaceted look at your life? We're not seeing you hang out with friends. We're not seeing you date or not. We're not seeing you literally, even if it's fucking typing at a computer, like, you're super proud of your resume, including obviously supporting BP oil.
That was like Brynn's most unintentionally iconic comment. Was being
iconic.
Like, how dare you? I represented the most evil corporation at a time when they had
which
destroyed
is a big
our
deal.
Environment.
No, but that is a big deal.
It is, but it was so out of touch that it was like, this is actually amazing.
But that's out of touch that I want to see on camera, not on Instagram. Oh, yeah. So for her to be like, how dare these content creators make jokes of the fact they don't see me working? It's like, bitch, we want to see you fucking working.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's like click, 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 typing away at a computer to see, you know, Stephen Oil and what fish he's going to murder today by, like, you know,
have we seen any of them work this season?
We've seen Uba work. We've seen Uba model.
Okay, yes. And we saw Rebecca
and
selling
paint.
Rebecca selling Wicked merch.
I don't get me near. What fucking blood oath Becky Minkoff took with production to be so fucking generous with every single, aside from like her actual personality, which you can only protect so much, to be so generous with, I'm sure she, that was a buy-in. I'm sure But like, aside from that moment, the Scientology of it all, it's not even that they're being delicate and fucking nervous. They're openly to talk about, here's the shit that production should be doing if we want to have some stuff. Tell cast members to actually ask her genuine, sincere questions that you know they fucking have about her dangerous religious cult that's like...
alleged.
Okay.
They're very litigious. That's all.
Sure.
I obviously don't disagree with you.
And Becky Minkoff is allegedly a human person in this universe. So like allegedly a human person in this world is talking about this thing. And the wink, wink, LOL is Jessel's like, I have a question. Do you ever see Tom Cruise? And it's like, yeah, bitch, because her parents are so deeply embedded in this secret society that they're paying enough money to make sure that they're in this space, that they're like weird little XenuCon. And then she's going in the confessional being like, and there's a joke and people ask me about like aliens and stuff. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm like, you've gone
you
clear, bitch. You
absolutely
fucking
about.
Know.
Also,
you're OT18.
I feel like it's a real travesty that Tamara and Teddy went harder at her than her castmates. You know that they asked her about Charlie Miscavige.
I saw the clip of it and I don't know. I didn't watch the episode.
Well, they asked her about Shelly, who are Shelly Miscavige?
Because they used that to promote the episode, which God bless as well.
And then Becky said, well, why isn't Jenna's fiance on the show?
Which
is actually funny, but so...
to scream.
But so hilariously missing the point. Ugh, she's terrible.
There is no excuse for casting her on this show and then, oh my God, finding out what she does in her free time with her like think methods and then not asking any questions. And on top of that, doing your level best to make this into a joke and not having any conversation about it. Because it's not like this is a great show with a lot to discuss.
I actually, at this point, wish we hadn't gotten any scenes about Scientology because I find them so offensive when they do their whole like, I know some bad stuff, but I can't talk about it. And then it's like the rest of them are basically saying like, freedom of religion, whatever garbage they say of like whatever Jenna's been saying, like all of this stuff.
Well, no, Jenna was the one that took the hardest tone.
Who was the one who was
Jenna
like,
was like, I know Alex Gibney and I know he's not a piece of shit.
Who was the one who was like, maybe
everyone
it was Aaron,
else.
Maybe it was Aaron.
Everyone else.
Whatever it was, it was terrible.
Well, Aaron was like, I knew someone and who something Scientology, but I can't share that story. I was like, well, then why are
Shut
we here?
Up. God.
Why are, and you know at the reunion, Andy's gonna be like buh, 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 buh. That's so well said. And then she's gonna be like, buh, buh, buh. Like it's not even, it's either gonna come up or not come up, or he's gonna be like, how did you feel about the whatever? And she's gonna be like, it's all fine
Have
and good.
Filmed
and then
the reunion yet?
I don't.
This season's been
he asked questions. He's put on Twitter, like, send me your questions, and every answer was like, why did you do this?
This
to us?
Season has been
what
going
did we
on
do to deserve
for
this?
Years.
It's been going on since 2012.
Like, how is this gonna end after Salt Lake City?
It's like those horror movies where the aliens, you find that the aliens have been living under the ground and they've to use, you know,
Chud. Yeah. Cannibalistic humanoid, whatever those Chud, they're like live under. Anyway, doesn't matter.
I don't know what you're talking about, but to like to think about the world in a way that Becky Minkoff would understand, like aliens living under the ground and then one day they come out. Actually, wasn't that Tom Cruise? Didn't they come out of the ground in War of the Worlds? Isn't that how they started?
I thought they came from outer space.
Well, sure, of course, once upon a time.
Okay,
but
I
think
I haven't seen
I
it.
Think that it's excellent. It's
I know.
So
I
good
it.
And so scary. It's too scary. It's so well done.
I haven't seen it because every time I go to Universal Studios, you go through the set of the plane torn apart from War of the Worlds. They still have the preserved.
Was there a plane in that? Are you sure it wasn't World War Z?
No, it's War of the Worlds.
Okay.
It's like, and they use an actual plane they tore apart for this scene in the movie. And then you can like crash in a neighborhood and it's like just, I don't think there was a scene on a plane. I think it's just like.
Oh, got it.
It's in a they're
wreckage.
She's fleeing the neighborhood and
got
there's
it.
A whole plane
Friend
there.
Of.
And that stresses me out. So I haven't seen the movie.
Right. Because you have.
I have
we've
fears.
Discussed. As we've discussed. Yeah, I feel like it's been lurking. This energy has been lurking. Obviously, it's a punishment and some kind of terrible karma. Like, we should all repent.
Absolutely.
We should get one of those tin cans and attach a rope and call it an e-meter and then defraud people out of hundreds of thousands of dollars and pretend that that somehow is giving you the ability to do anything but waste precious assets and time.
What if they brought Leah Remini on as a friend of? Would that be worth it to have Becky stick around?
As a Leah Remini OG stan, I've seen, you can watch them on YouTube, the baby special, the wedding special. I watched the TLC show. She's one of the funniest people of all time. I don't know what happened with her and Jen. We can't really go there, but like Jen, obviously, with Ben, may their memory be a blessing. And Leah and Angelo are no longer going to be married, but they're going to stay a family forever. I've read that Instagram post multiple times. We should be so lucky to get Leah Remini on I will follow her to the ends of the earth. It does not matter. I watched this after the Scientology and the aftermath, but also like the family stuff is so good. Her family is so funny. And so they're incredible. I would follow her to the ends of the earth. She is LA based. So we couldn't necessarily fly her to New York, although obviously we could, but how wonderful would that have been? But Becky Minkoff would walk out of the room.
Yeah.
That's like when
she's like the ultimate SP, right? She's like
suppressive person.
Yeah.
I think if I remember correctly, when Leah Remini won an Emmy, was it Golden Globe? No, Emmy for Scientology in the Aftermath. I do believe that Elizabeth Moss excused herself from the room. So that,
for sure.
Yeah. Because we don't know anything. Like, if anybody's saying anything, it doesn't exist.
I love when Becky's like, do your research, when like they're told not to read anything about Scientology when they're in it and they can't watch anything. So what research are they doing?
I will support, without sometimes watching her movies, I will support Nicole Kidman for the rest of her life for what she endured and survived and what she lost. She lost children.
Mimi Rogers,
we need to have a conversation with, because she's the one who introduced Tom Cruise.
I know, but then she's not, I don't think she's in it anymore, is she?
Okay.
I thought that they'd also split them up.
I don't think this would still be, Tom Cruise is the reason that so many people know about this.
For sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know what, so what do we do?
I have no idea.
Great.
I'm worried it's going to end up being a long pause situation.
I'm worried that someone at the network is like, we just need to dig in, make Becky Minkoff full time, have more bags.
I think they're all so bad at this.
And they meaning?
The cast.
Okay.
That I think if you believe they're suddenly going to, if you watch Potomac this season, you can see how professionals pull it together. You can see how Giselle has Dr. Wendy. They're like, we're here to do a job.
They get it.
And they course correct. It took Giselle a long time, but she has shown why she's still in the show.
Mm.
I cannot see a single one of the New York women doing that.
Well, they're not good at it. Giselle is talented.
That's what I mean. They don't have the innate ability, or they're not willing to learn how to do it. They're just going to keep doing the same shit.
We don't deserve this harm.
No, we deserve better. After the year we had,
2024,
mm-mm.
No more of this. But I don't trust any of them. And I will suffer through the rest of the season because I'm a professional, unlike anybody related to that show. And I don't know. I had a conversation actually the other day that was so shocking to me. It was just like a one-liner that was so shocking to me that I said, come on the podcast immediately. And I hope that my friend will, because they said, and I was shocked, I was shaken by this statement.
Yeah.
I was shaken, not stirred, that they said that they felt that Uba was the single worst casting decision in Housewives history. And I said, how dare you?
That is shocking. I do think she's really bad at this.
Because I just want to understand that. I don't understand, and I'm not denying or disagreeing. I just, like, when I look at the cast, the person, I don't think like, Uba. Like, I just think everybody else, you know? Like, I'm not thinking like...
I think everyone, including Uba.
Okay.
I think she is very bad at conflict in that she takes things very personally, which is totally your right. She's very sensitive. Again, like,
great for a housewife. That's a great housewife attribute.
But she doesn't know how to move forward in any way that makes sense. She understands. I don't know. Like, all of it. Like, I remember the season one reunion when she was so angry at Jenna for like mild comments and confessionals. I think she just feels like she's not understanding what the show is. And like that extends to conflict and also conflict resolution, which she's like not great at, but none of them are.
It needs to there. I really have no faith that anyone in a position of power understands that there's shared responsibility here and it's not just the cast, but there absolutely is a cast issue. Like there absolutely is a cast issue. And I just don't know that any of them get
well, in terms of your question about production versus cast, I would be interested to see what the show would look like if you fired a production company and brought in a new one for next season. I don't think it would fix the show, but I would be interested to see what happens with these women in a better production company.
I don't know if this is true, but there was a conversation on one of the Patreon episodes where, because I recorded 4 Patreon episodes over New Year's Eve, A Satchel Spectacular, Paige and Craig, and just Unraveling over New York. And someone did comment, and I don't know if this is true, I haven't fact checked, so let's share it with everybody, that the person who was like responsible or whatever for the bad season of Potomac was brought on to this season of New York.
I had heard that. I had heard that.
If true.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true either, but I think I had heard that. Yeah.
If true.
I don't think it's one person, but I do think they can have an impact. There's like,
yeah, agree.
I think so many people dropped the ball in this season in so many ways.
But the instincts by everybody seem wrong.
Correct.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And then there are talented people, I'm sure, involved who have to follow someone's terrible guidance. And it's like, what do you do?
Someone said, I'm going to take this pigeon theme and run with it.
Which, justice for pigeons. There's a pigeon right there in the clawfist, a little pigeon.
It doesn't make sense. This doesn't make any sense when they're like talking about pigeons. It is, even as a metaphor, it doesn't make sense.
Leaky pigeon. I don't think pigeons leak.
If you wanted to make it about like carrier pigeons carrying messages...
Oh, yeah, that's better.
Or like, yeah, but they don't leak.
And there's nothing, pigeons are beautiful birds. And let's not.
I like pigeons.
I like pigeons. Who doesn't like a pigeon? I mean, like, they're fun. It's like a conversation starter, except this kind of conversation on this specific show in which I'm like, you better take pigeons out of your fucking mouth. Okay. They're better at this than you would be.
Let's watch it. Next season's going to be an all pigeon cast.
We should honestly be so lucky.
I think the one thing that
it would make more sense.
I think the one thing that has been said that is correct by like Andy and by whatever other powers that be, whether like anonymously or not, is like we're not bringing back the older cat, like the not older age wise, but original cast of Roni with these women. I think blending them would be a huge mistake and not what the show needs.
Dorinda would devour them whole.
Which I would watch, but like...
No, I don't want to see
that. I don't
that.
Really think it would be fun.
It would be the Bravo version of like a snuff film or something. I don't understand it. I've never Googled it. I don't want to see it or view it or comment on it. I don't... It's just not for me.
Snuff films?
I actually don't totally understand what they are. Is it a film where someone kills someone?
Yeah.
God forbid?
There's a...
But that's not a real thing, right?
It's not. Like, it has happened in history, but it's like...
I'm gagging.
It's kind of like an urban legend, like, that people that believe that there are, like, real snuff films, but for the most part, they are not.
So gross.
Anyway.
Speaking of murder, actually, Dolo said something that I'm not even going to attempt to quote, but the paraphrase here is, like, I'm kind of mad at my cast for not pulling it together because we all lost our jobs. Which, did anybody, no disrespect to Dolo, who's in my top 5, a queen, an icon, an angel, I will love her forever, can do no wrong. But like, did she ever try, maybe not even with Teresa, but with Louis, I guess, to be like, sir, you're going to lose all your money, because it's only Teresa's,
yeah,
if you don't calm the fuck down.
I don't even really understand what she's saying, because the only person like... who was not willing to show up? She's talking about Teresa and Melissa, basically. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, who else?
But Margaret was the one who was really. Teresa was like unwilling to ever move past it with Margaret. Like, that feels like the bigger rift.
I feel like Margaret, and I totally understand it, didn't want to film with Louis ever.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's, again, that's. I don't think there was a way for that cast to pull it together and come. I do think that they will. I don't think they're going to do a full reboot of New Jersey. I think that they learn from Roni, hopefully, that they need to do something more like Potomac, where they fire some and bring in new people.
All right. How do you think that's going to go?
What do you mean? Like, in terms of...
Who do you think?
Teresa, Melissa, Jen, Aiden.
Fire?
Yeah.
Hold on. Keep Jackie. Just kidding.
She doesn't obviously count. Obviously fire Jackie, yeah.
The biggest, literally the biggest flop in recent Housewives history. A moment so shocking that I remember like trying to process it during the commercial when it was like she had people at her house. I literally like lost control. It was so funny. That will never not be funny to me. It was to see the change and the twist. Honestly, iconic. The best thing that Jackie has ever done for us, a community service. Okay, so wait, you would cut Teresa, Melissa, and who?
Jen Aiden.
Jen Aiden is...
We know she's done.
Too busy screaming at elderly Jersey employees Mike's at employees. Jersey Mike's.
I think that if you keep Dolores as like matriarch...
Mm, God bless.
You have Marge, who's like a shit stirrer and like also just good for the show. I think she moves story along. And then I think Danielle and Rachel...
I just forgot who they were. When you said Danielle, I was like, stop? Yeah. I think that
they are kind of like, they could bring more to the show in terms of like, they're new, but like they have a lot of potential. Danielle had like a not great first season and really came back her second season. I think Rachel's husband kind of goes too far and I didn't love him last season, but I still like Rachel. I think that if you keep them and have some of their friends and like Dolores is kind of the glue of it still, I don't know. I think it could work.
I really...
Marge can go either way, too. I would like her to keep her around, but if they had to get rid of Marge also, I would understand that. I do think it's good to have some, like, age-based peers on the show. Mm. So I wouldn't want Dolores to be the only one in her age bracket versus, like, you know, Danielle and Rachel, who are quite a bit younger. But yeah, I mean, just cast around them.
I really... It's hard for me to imagine a New Jersey without Teresa. I'm not saying she has to stay. I'm just saying like that would be a really, really big swing that the network would take. But maybe they feel like they're backed up against a wall because of who she's married to.
I think that's a big part of the problem. And I think that money is always going to be a big thing. And it's just like, I'm sure that the network didn't want to lose. I mean, they have Ariana on Love Island on Peacock, but like, I don't think they wanted to lose Ariana. Mm. But it's like, I don't think they could afford to pay her what she wanted and to pay Sandoval and to pay all these people. Like, I just think with like how much Teresa makes or Candy on Atlanta, like these are like monetary decisions. These mm-hmm. are people who are making so much goddamn money and like that's great for them. And
deservedly
like,
so.
Begrudge them that. But I think it makes it harder to justify keeping them around for the sake of keeping them around. And Teresa, like beyond her conflict, just like, I don't feel like we got that much out of her last season. And I think like they obviously cut a lot of stuff with Louis that was in the trailer and then never happened on the show. So it's like, what is she really giving us in terms of like her own storyline?
Last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America. Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers, but it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns hopes to grow your money into more of your money. Especially helpful for me because living in New York City, I swear you walk outside and somehow you've spent $100 before walking a single solitary block. In New York City, of course, we always say everything is at your fingertips. But with all of these delivery services, especially if I'm recording in the middle of a Peacock binge, shout out the Traders, those delivery fees really, truly add up. Acorns can help you fight back. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. I spend a lot of time on the pod talking about emotional intelligence. Financial intelligence is equally important. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York. And they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
I don't know what's going to happen with Teresa, but I just really hope she's like ends up being okay. I hope that she's, you know, able to like live a good life and financially stable. And I hope that I don't want that more than what she wants and does for herself. Like, I just hope she's like, you know, eye on the prize, and that prize being, you know, being able to continue to afford prizes. You know, like I get nervous for her.
Yeah, me too.
So we'll see what happens there. Can I ask you a question about Salt Lake City? Because I just rewatched the most recent episode. What's your take on Bronwyn?
What a question.
It's a big one.
I really like Bronwyn. I think she has started to lose me a bit in the past couple episodes. I think she knows from what she said that she didn't entirely play the season right and maybe was a little bit, maybe too conflict forward or a little bit too, like, I think that she just kind of like, I was nervous for her because she was starting to isolate everyone or she was starting to alienate everyone by being like, kind of, I was like, you can't lose Angie and Whitney. Like, you just can't. Like, you need to have allies on this show. And I think she was kind of like, her whole thing of being a truth teller and sort of bringing everyone's, you know, bone collecting, basically, which is like part of the job. She was doing it indiscriminately and it was making it hard because I was like, well, none of them are going to want to hang out with you. And then backed into a corner when that does happen, she pulls out this thing about Todd's not affair or emotional affair, whatever. She's backtracking with it now, where I was like, I don't know what we're doing here, especially now that she's walking it back.
Yeah, it's interesting that she's walking it back when he did buy her a 5-diamond ring, so like he did know he fucked up so much that it became a vow renewal purchase.
Yeah. And I do really like her, and I think she's really good for the show. I think she'll be better next season.
I wonder what conversation she had with Lisa prior to filming beginning. Like, is part of this because I have no idea if this happened, but is part of this because maybe they had a conversation before filming started where Lisa was like, don't worry, I'll have your back. And Bronwyn took her literally. And
I'm
seriously.
Sure. I'm sure they had some sort of conversation like that because they seem to be actual friends. So I can't imagine they didn't have a talk beforehand about like what to expect. And I would imagine that came with Lisa being like, I'm on your team and whatever. But the amount of intervention she expects from Lisa is not realistic. I keep watching it being like, how often do you want Lisa to chime in and be like defending you? That's not really how these shows work. Like, I feel like it would be weird if every time someone came for Bronwyn, Lisa jumped in.
Well, I think,
And Bronwyn doesn't do that for Lisa. I mean, Bronwyn has, in moments, stood up for Lisa when she's not there, but she's not jumping into every fight defending Lisa. Like, that would just be strange.
I think she, like, maybe it's just pulling this out, but, like, Brittany is calling me a bitch. Like, why are you saying anything in that moment? Why is there silence?
She said something really... What did she say to... She said something nasty to Brittany before that.
Oh, my God. When I rewatched
it, I'm trying to remember what it was.
Oh, it was like, are you more... I'm going to fuck it up, but like, you more focused on... What
reconnecting with your daughter, right?
Are you more focused on making an announcement or actually reconnecting with
your
child?
Yeah, that was so nasty. I mean, I think it was true.
Yeah.
But also like, I was also like, that was such a nasty thing to say. So like, I don't really think Lisa needed to defend her there. She said a nasty thing and got a nasty response.
That's true. That's a good point.
That was weird to me. I was like, it's not like Brittany is bullying her. It's like Brittany is responding to you jabbing at her. Like, that's sort of how this works. So it felt really weird for her to be like, why aren't you defending me?
Yeah. And also in rewatching the episode, so it was probably the third time I saw that episode, but probably more, just the way that they went from having this like lovely conversation, bonding, talking about Henry, like a real conversation, and the way that Brittany was like, this is unfair to me, was just such a weird, chaotic way for her to try to get attention for herself. That was like, I don't want to say it was masterful, but it was just, it was like LOL side eye iconic.
She sort of has that like, in Angie's last season was Angie's first full-time season, right?
I forget.
How like Angie sort of like, and now I understand that Angie knows what she's doing more, but it felt like that season she was sort of like tripping into iconography, that she kept like accidentally saying and doing things that made her an icon. And I feel like Brittany is doing that, but it's not like, I think Brittany thinks she knows what she's doing. I think when Brittany stands up at the Breakfast at Tiffany's, like breakfast or whatever it was. Was it a breakfast? Was it brunch?
Brunch.
When she stands up and says, like, what about me? I think she thinks she's doing a great, like, iconic moment, but it's iconic for, like, not that reason. Like, it's iconic because it's so cringe.
And what happens if you're saying what about me to a group of people who don't care about you even a little bit?
I feel like we've lost the thread even of like Heather being the one who brought her on.
Because Heather's embarrassed. Because she's totally. Like, you're so but bad at
like,
this.
But it's like funny that Heather hasn't even... I feel like Heather's forgotten that she's supposed to be Brittany's friend.
That's going to be real fun for me when we watch the reunion to see how Heather attempts to sort of just contort herself under the couch when... you know, Brittany's doing full Brittany. It's Brittany, bitch.
Yeah.
Because how, like, literally, what do you do? Like, what do you do when this person is just saying these things that, like, do not make sense, but you're the person who introduced them and maybe have a relationship with them or don't? Like, do you want to defend the mess? Like,
I mean, I think
what do you do?
I think that that'll be interesting. I think Heather will probably play nice with her because... we have to see how whatever the recording thing is. I think a lot depends on how that all shakes out because we don't know yet what that all is about.
Oh my God. I can't believe we didn't talk about that at all.
Well, we don't know what it is yet.
Right.
I think that like it, depending on whether it's an actual, like, did she actually whatever it is, place a recording device in Meredith's room.
#old audio.
Which seems unlikely. Like, that would be a different scenario where I'm like, maybe Heather would distance herself fully. Like, what did she actually do? In terms of, like, I am excited for the reunion because I think that I need Bronwyn and Heather to talk it out in a way that breaks the fourth wall, because it seems like their actual issue is show-based, which I know is, like, most Housewives fights, but it just feels to me like Heather has been so hostile to her because she's, like, a new person on the show. It just felt like that was kind of, like, what the deal was. And then I think she didn't feel like Bronwyn was deferential enough to the OGs when she came on.
Is it that, or is it that plus the fact that Heather is sort of disgusted by the fact that Bronwyn isn't financially independent? Because the way that Heather keeps referencing that...
I'm sure that's part of it. But I do think a lot of it is like... we all survived Jen Shah and Monica, and you come on here and think you're like Queen Bee and you need to be put in your place.
I don't think that that's inaccurate, but there is Heather has such a strong focus on Bronwyn's marriage.
Yes. It was so weird how much she brought up the prenup, because I was like, you're bringing it up as if she's the stupid one here. Whereas, like,
no, she's saying that he is. Was she not?
The way she talks about it is like as if it's an attack on Bronwyn.
Oh. Yeah,
it makes no sense. I was like, Bronwyn's gonna in a great position, and also, like, realistically, Todd has like the best lawyer you can ever get for like fucking someone over. I don't think that she could walk away right now and just like easily pocket everything or whatever it is. But I think that obviously you'd rather be in that marriage without a prenup than with one.
Yeah.
So.
Gosh, I go back and forth on Bronwyn.
I'm
glad she's there. I'm so glad she's there. The cast right now is perfect.
I'm not on Twitter anymore, or like I have an account, but I'm not using it except to post like links to my articles. But she did follow me there, and I did DM her,
Bronwyn.
And like, because early before the season started, I tweeted about her because I was obsessed with her like look and her.
Oh,
whole aesthetic and just her like vibes.
Very
I really
colorful.
Liked her.
Very colorful.
So we like DM'd a bit, and I did message her about her the really cute pajamas that she was wearing,
because
she was like selling.
She
was like selling them. No, she was like selling them.
Huh?
She had some sort of deal with her. She was wearing cute pajamas on the show, and that she has some sort of brand deal where they're like her design pajamas, or she's partnered with them.
Oh.
And also their dog pajamas too.
Cute.
Matching.
Love.
And I was like really hoping she'd be like, I can send you a pair, but it didn't happen. She just said, thank you.
Yeah. I don't think that she would be like, I'll send you a pair.
Well, it's worth
a shot.
Maybe
if it was like a book or fragrance, but I don't know about pajamas unless they were literally hers. But if she has a...
No. They're like, you can buy them on the website.
But it's on the designer's website. Versus like BronwynNewport.com.
Yeah.
It was BronwynNewport.com pajamas.
I actually don't know. Anyway, the point is I genuinely wanted to pay her a compliment because I love the pajamas, but it would have been really nice if she was like, let me send you a pair. Mm. She seems very generous in general. Like before, maybe early in the season, she was like paying off a bunch of teachers. They have their like wish lists. She was paying off a bunch of those and like asking people to send stuff.
That's great.
But I don't, I guess I could afford to buy the pajamas if I wanted to. They were too expensive.
How much were they?
I don't remember, but too much money.
More than $0.
More than $0. Yeah.
That's the limit. That's the limit.
I'm not, yeah. Yeah.
Shifting gears a little bit, because I did just watch the Cunt Off in the last couple minutes of Beverly Hills. How do you feel about Dorit's sort of adjustment in behavior, possibly a little bit more reactionary or honest or performative, depending on how you feel? What's your sense of whether or not Dorit is deploying like a really specific strategy with her behavior this season?
I think it's a strategy in the sense that she knows she has to do this, but it feels organic to me. It feels much realer than I expected it to. Like everything she's saying to Kyle and to Camille and to Sutton, I'm like, you kind of are making sense to me, and it seems like it's coming from a place of genuine frustration with these people. So really what she's been doing for the past several seasons is the performative thing of like holding back.
Yeah, unfortunately I have to stand. Unfortunately.
She's doing a great job.
She's doing a great job. Keep it up. Keep it up, babe.
I was glad. I wish it had been a little bit more explicit, but I was glad when Garcelle, in that fight with Kyle, was like, not with Kyle, Garcelle, Kyle and Dorit were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the beach, maybe, when they were having dinner or Kathy's thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what Garcelle said. I wish I could, but kind of like brought up that Dorit is not always the best at
speaking, that she was like, Dorit talks too much, so like, why are you?
Yeah, but Garcelle said something where I thought it was alluding to last season, because that was when Dorit really pissed me off last season with the Garcelle stuff, and then her posting about her bubble on Instagram and all this stuff. I was like, oh, right, we did hate her last season for a good reason.
Yeah, because she sucked last season.
So I was glad that Garcelle chimed in there.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I'm very team Dorit in all of these conflicts. I thought Sutton, like, did herself no favors in the last episode with her and Dorit. I thought that was kind of ridiculous.
I kept watching. I was like zooming in on Sutton's eyes. She just, when Sutton gets like really mad and her eyes get really small and she's just trying to go in for the kill, or she's just infuriated and like popping off, It is fascinating to watch. She does go from mercurial. She does go from 0 to 1,000 in like 0.008 seconds.
Yeah.
It's great. She can't help herself.
Yeah. I really am enjoying the season. And I think Dorit is obviously the biggest part of that. Because it's like, you just like, you know, you wanna see someone. Kyle has been, you know, she holds back, she's protected in many ways. Like, she's often having uncomfortable things or sad things on the show, but it's like, you don't see someone coming for Kyle to this level and with this kind of, where it feels really natural and where it feels really deserved. Like, I feel like we don't see that. Like, we don't see, I've been sort of waiting for Dorit to lay into Kyle and to do it in a way that, like, I am on her side, or it's not just like, I have to create conflict here.
And the nice thing is that Kyle no longer has Dorit to be her like full-time bodyguard. And right. Erica, for example, is like, Erica's doing such a great job as an ensemble member, and she's holding back. Like, we all understand to let this shit happen, and it's happening. Like, Kyle isn't being defended as vehemently as she typically would be. And I think a big part of it is the absolute breakdown on camera of the Fox Force 5. We have pulled out foxes.
Yeah.
There are foxes.
Which I thought would happen. I thought that would happen with Brenna being gone, and it didn't.
Right.
And now it feels like, Erica's doing a great job of like playing both sides is not what she's doing, but she's just giving them each enough and supporting them just enough and agreeing with, you know, I mean, they showed that clip of Erica saying she would hate to get that text from Kyle at the reunion, pre-reunion text. Like, she acknowledged that would be not a text she would want to receive. Or when she was telling Kyle, or now I can't remember. Hold on, lost my train of thought.
Kyle, text she didn't run a receiver when she was telling Kyle.
When she was telling Kyle that she didn't think that what Dorit had said about Teddy was matching what she was saying now. Like, she's whatever that Sutton called out.
Yeah, because they all did not understand what she was saying, which was like the difference between saying someone is a friend and saying they're a close friend.
Yeah.
Like, they all, it's ridiculous.
It was stupid. But the point is, like, she's just like, she's supporting both of them and also like giving a little bit of like tiny bit of shade or a tiny bit of acknowledgement of how the other person might be misstepping. So I think she just is the perfect person to have that role right now.
Someone needs to bring up the fact that Teddy was fucking the guy who rides the horse. Like, we need someone. I assume it's going to be Sutton and Garcelle will laugh. It could also be Dorit. We need to have that moment and Kyle being offended on behalf of, you know, the most sensitive person on the planet.
Teddy Joe Carrot.
Someone needs to take one for the team and have a couple wisecracks.
But like,
and have Andy laugh. I want to see him laugh.
You mean you want this at the reunion?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Okay, good. Yeah. I don't want it sooner because I don't want Teddy on the show.
No.
And like I said, they would have filmed it before all that happened, so.
No. We can never. Teddy Joe Carrot people who understand that she is bad in all the ways that offend me the most, you know, not being talented at being on camera and then everything else, understand that we're now fighting two battles. We're at war on multiple fronts because we've had Beverly Hills and fucking Kyle trying to get her pal and little sister back on the show for goddamn seasons. And then now we're in Orange County, thanks to Tamra. So it's like, I can only handle one of these at a time. And you guys are making me think about both. And so we just need to make sure that if and when she is referenced, it's as a joke.
Maybe Teddy needs a fresh start in New York. Can you imagine?
Yes, which is what's so tragic, because I think if it's the same people in the room who making the calls, they're like, what's Teddy up to? She would move there in a second. Move here, rather. We live here.
Yeah. Potentially controversial opinion.
Great.
This feels like Garcelle's last season.
Oh. And okay, I'm trying to process it.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The
fact that this is specifically her last season is interesting.
Well, she feels like a friend of. She feels like she's on an island by herself. She feels very much like she at the start of the season, she was very much, was she in Atlanta filming the movie?
Mm-hmm.
She's just felt a little disconnected, and aside from Sutton, doesn't seem to have the organic relationships with the other women.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of carry the show a bit. So there's that. But I just feel like arc-wise, the edit she's getting is kind of like, I'm really successful now. I'm really happy. My kids finally understand and support me. And her kids basically saying like how great a mom she is after like...
I think they've always supported her, but they're showing appreciation as teenage boys. And they're like, they're understanding, which is incredible.
I think
for what she's sacrificed.
It feels weirdly like the end of an arc. Like she feels like, it feels like almost like what story is left for us to tell. I think that there's kind of the one asterisk there is she had that conversation with Kyle about sort of like, does she need a man in her future? Like, is, you know, does she, is that what she wants for, you know, the rest of her life, to be with a man, like mm-hmm. to have a relationship. So I feel like that potentially is the story they could tell. But otherwise, just from a storytelling perspective, it sort of feels like a weirdly natural end for her arc.
I'm listening. Formally rebuke this in the name of Jesus, also known as Pedro Pascal. There are a couple people who I feel like just keep her on the show. Because I like when we... And also, she actually... Let's say that you're right about all of this, which you very well might be. The fact that this person, like, whatever, blah, 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 but also had the sharpest attack or critique or wink, wink, I think, of anybody this season by a mile with the robbery thing of, like, I know that Dorit wasn't involved, .. but I'm not saying anybody else. Like,
that was rough.
That was also the harshest, biggest swing, which I don't know that you would do that if you're on your way out.
I'm not saying fire her. I do. I like Garcelle. I really like her face when Sutton's digging a hole and she's like, I got to support Sutton, but also like, I can't defend this.
Mm. She also does give great wow. Like when someone says something, yes. Dorit, she's like, wow. I love her wow.
I just feel like she has friend of energy this season, and her personal storyline is like, has been mostly about how great everything is and how busy she is and how she's feeling so good about her career and her family right now. So
why can't she have that?
She can.
But it's just like, not. It's
but
not.
But I'm saying, like, what is the personal storyline then, unless she wants to make it about her dating, which I don't love a housewife's getting back out there storyline.
Why?
I just don't necessarily think it's that interesting, although it's working on Potomac right now. But that's a separate.
Wait. Why don't you like women?
Period. No. I fully support it. I just, there's a certain level of, it never quite feels real to me. Like when it's like Sutton going on dates, like I did enjoy some of those scenes, but it always feels a little bit like
her trivia pal.
It just always feels a little bit like we're trying to make this something.
Right.
Which is why on Potomac, as you will see, I've been so pleasantly surprised by how real it feels right now with Ashley and her current man.
Wow.
Where I'm like, oh, I actually, this feels legit to me. But mostly I end up feeling like I'm seeing them go on. When I'm like, if Garcelle were going to do that storyline, mm-hmm. I feel like we'd see a lot of first dates with people that who were like kind of cast. And mm-hmm. I don't love that. But yeah, I could. I think she feels like a friend of right now. And I think that if she were to not be full time, I'd want her around as a friend of.
I want for Garcelle whatever Garcelle wants for Garcelle. And, you know, there are certain times where I'm like, maybe you might be right.
But I don't like preemptively getting rid of people. I think getting rid of Crystal was a big bummer. And
why did they do that?
I think it's all like a matter of like, a lot of it's cost cutting, even though she wasn't making, I'm sure, that much money. It's like, there's still a budget, right? And it's like, I'm glad they brought Bose on. And so, you know, they got rid of, what, two people last season? Because they got rid of, what's her name? And Crystal?
Anna Marie, yeah.
I choose to forget.
Mm. So does her husband.
Oh.
8.5.
Something about 8.5 is like worse than, is worse to say that than if she had said like, if he said like six, that would be better than 8.5.
She's still fighting with people on the internet about it. And it's like, you don't understand, like nobody's a 10. I was like, okay. Well.
But that's just what you say because you're a loving, supportive partner.
It's like taking a bow and being like, I guess you're enough.
Anyway, forgetting her. I guess I've been feeling a little bit like confused about my own perspective on sort of people who fit into the background a bit, because I think that it's really, or who are kind of commenting on the sidelines. So I think that there's obviously a benefit to that. Not to go back to Roni, but I've been thinking about like how disappointing Jessel has been this season as like a non-entity, where I feel like I'm not really seeing her in the mix at all. And it's like, so where is that line exactly? Like, what am I looking for? Because with Erica on Beverly Hills, like, she does have a personal storyline, but I do think her biggest role this season is kind of like as a go-between with Kyle and Dorit. Mm-hmm. And like, I like having her there.
Yeah, she's doing a great job.
She doesn't have to be central. Yeah. She can be that. So like,
she's better when she's not central.
So I guess I'm like, I don't want to get rid of someone just because they're not central, because not everyone can be central. But I'm a little bit, I'm like, what is Garcelle going to bring going forward? In either as someone on the sidelines or in her personal storylines. And I'm not seeing a clear path right now.
So, okay, the difference aside from the fact that like Erica has more litigation to go through and Garcelle has, you know, the challenge of not, you know, possibly being accused of engaging in crime or whatever,
right,
or ruining people's lives. That's just a benefit, I guess.
sure.
So congrats. The thing is that Erica has relationships with more people in the cast. Because you could say that Garcelle could do some of that for Sun with someone, but she probably doesn't have as close a relationship with, connection with, history with. I think it's really history.
History, and also like, you never get a sense that she likes Kyle very much.
Well, that's one of the best qualities of Garcelle. I love that.
I totally agree, except that it makes it hard for her to be that kind of go-between.
Or it makes it really interesting, because Salt Lake City is able to do that really well, where it's like people who don't fuck with each other, but the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Salt Lake City is a funny one because their allyships are so obvious in terms of like, we've decided to be friends, where it's like Whitney and Heather are so funny to me because Heather being like, yeah, I heard you were talking shit and it's totally fine. Like, I think we just move on from this. Like, they won't even like, and Lisa and Meredith, where I'm like, you're just deciding to be friends. And that is fine. But it is really funny to me.
I got a satchel. I got into this on the Patreon from someone that was like, are you like becoming too upset about the alliance? I think it was the alliance between like Meredith and Lisa and Heather. And I don't even remember what my response was, but I was like, I mean, like, yeah, they have one, but I don't know what to say.
But it's not quite extending to like,
it's not Fox Force energy.
No,
they're
we
not
still
like
get Lisa
stopping
and Meredith versus Whitney.
Right.
And we still get like it, that's still happening.
I don't think it's stopping stuff from happening, which is great.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't really need to see Lisa and Meredith fight more.
No, I can't.
They work
we can't do that
allies.
Ever again.
And I think with Heather and Whitney, it was just boring to watch them go at it. So that's why we've moved on from that.
You know what's great? Watching the after show, it's just great on Bravo's YouTube. But also this whole thing about Brittany asking Meredith why she was crying and possibly, you know, physically ill.
Very weird.
and saying, doing it like repeatedly, or maybe she just like told two people and they told six people. But the thing that Meredith's like obviously so annoyed by it on the after show, she was like, yeah, she asked me that off camera and I told her she was fine. So the one of the reasons, aside from understanding this person's trying to fuck with me on camera, is like, she already asked me and I told her I was okay. So then when she did it on camera, I knew she was full of shit.
Yeah.
I love that. I love, just please fuck with Meredith. I love it. It's great for me. It's great for Meredith. It's great for the universe.
Meredith is another person who can often fade into the background and then comes back really hot. Like, but she, I remember early this season, it was like, where is she? She was like gone for a long time. I think
she was preparing for a bat mitzvah.
She was, even though
top Torah takes a while.
Even though she didn't actually read from the Torah, which is the funniest thing.
Wait, can we just sidebar about that? Because I was like, you know, representation matters and all this stuff. And also, shout out, a friend of mine, Abby, was like doing some content creation around this Kara Stas Mishigas of like Britney flopping, because she's like trying to say that she's trying to make a joke of like Lisa getting an opportunity to do a paid collab that Britney Bad Hair should have had. But so Abby was like giving the introduction to what's going on. And she's like, yeah, so remember when at Meredith's bat mitzvah, when Angie K told Britney she had high body count hair? And I laughed so hard. And I was like, that's like the perfect sentence that I've ever, like the gift of Salt Lake City, where it's like at Meredith's bat mitzvah, Angie K told Britney she had high body count hair is incredible. But yes, the fact that Meredith had a cheat sheet of the phonetic, which we just memorize.
I think you memorize that. You're not,
we don't know how to read Hebrew.
Yeah, the thing is,
it's a monologue.
When I did my bar mitzvah, which was,
what was your theme?
Some years ago, the party theme or the Torah portion?
Oh, I don't remember.
I remember my portion. It was a good one.
You do?
Yeah, it was Noah. It was like the Ark.
Mine was, I don't know,
yeah,
being a
most
star.
Of them are boring,
mine was being
mine,
a star.
Mine,
what,
mine
was your, no, what was your party theme?
TV.
Oh, mine was Broadway.
I secretly wanted a theater one, but I was like, well, I would have gotten made fun of. Like, it was a different time.
Different time.
But I love TV also, obviously, and every table was themed to a different show, and there were many centerpieces. Every table had a centerpiece that was a cake.
Mm-hmm.
With the logo of the show on it.
Why do I feel like the X-Files was definitely...
I don't think it was.
Wow.
They were also themed to, like, the people who were there.
Okay.
So, like, Family Table was all in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was kind of the vibe.
Oh, it was kind of the classics.
It was a mix. My parents obviously helped with that.
Okay.
I did write my own candlelighting ceremony rhymes for everyone. That was all me.
What I wanted so bad, and we made it happen, because I was like, I fucking love that candle ceremony where at the party and you like have someone like light a right, it's like they light a candle of
you call,
like, how
you,
they meaningful,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I remember my brother's was like, I called him up and it was because like we had so much fun watching Space Jam together. That was like really meaningful to me when we watched
that.
Space Jam, probably didn't like scream at each other for a minute, and that is what I remember the most.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
You know what's the light of my life? The Clawfis, obviously, getting a chance to come into this colorful, unique space and breathe, especially after a wild holiday season. You know what else is the light of my life? The lighting fixture that my friend Tori and I picked out from Wayfair, which is such a conversation starter. It's modern, it's beautiful, the light bulbs, of course, are key. Amidst so much chaos in New York City, and of course the up and downs of housewives, I wanted my apartment to feel calm, soothing, fun, and feminine. And thanks to Wayfair, all of my dreams, minus Chris Manzo, have come true. Wayfair is super easy to use, especially for me, someone who has an idea of what I want, but oftentimes can get a little stuck in the details. Delivery was free, hassle-free. And I love that each room in my apartment feels different. From the lighting fixtures in the Clawfis versus the living room, to the way I use color in the Clawfis versus the living room. Wayfair has it all. And P.S. Hanukkah Harry, thanks to Wayfair, brought me an espresso machine. Because after this season of New York, a little extra caffeine is needed. Wayfair has everything your home needs this spring, and Wayfair has what you're looking for at any budget. There's something for every style in every home. Wayfair makes it easy to tackle your New Year's home goals with endless inspiration for every space. And it's free and easy delivery, even on the big stuff. Give your home the refresh it needs with Wayfair. Head to wayfair.com right now. That's WAYFAIR.com. Wayfair. Every style, every home.
So, yeah, and everything about Meredith's bat mitzvah was wonderful and iconic and in no way reminiscent of any of the hundreds of bat
mitzvahs. What I was going to say was
also
that...
Also, them, like, FedExing a Torah.
You get like, when I was doing my bar mitzvah, I got, with the vowels, I got the sheets of the portion with the vowels so I could learn how to do it because I could read Hebrew with the vowels. I don't know if you... I went to day schools before that, so I did... I could read Hebrew, but I didn't know what it meant.
Oh, you went to Jewish day school?
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow.
So I didn't know how to read Hebrew, but Torah is like Aramaic. I don't know. It's hard to read. And there's no vowels. So like, so I learned it. I learned how to do it that way. But also like you get cassette tapes at the time that were the cantor doing it with the chanting. So I basically just memorized it how he did it. Like it was a memorization thing because it was over many months. Like I wasn't like reading it so much as I was like memorizing how to chant it. And Meredith got a little cheat sheet, and I think that's beautiful.
I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful she did it. As I've said on previous episodes, my mom also did a bat mitzvah when she was like 50 or something. Like she wanted, and I went to it. And I think that's, it was like a part of like an Oneg Shabbat or something.
Did you see Between the Temples, the movie?
No. What's that about?
It's about Carol Kane, like playing a character, getting her bat mitzvah.
Hopefully it was Shirley Temple.
Getting her bat mitzvah as an older woman, and Jason Schwartzman as like the the cantor. Who she has like a thing. It's
I'm into it.
You should see. I think
what's it called?
Between the Temples.
Love it. Into it. I'll watch it.
It's like a double meaning because it's like between. Yeah. I'm pointing to my temples, but also
I'm into it.
I hope I got the title right because if not, I just fucked that up. So let me just casually Google that.
Which Carol?
Kane. Yeah.
Wow. I'm into it. I would be here for it. I also loved that everyone was dressed up in a way that was incredibly inappropriate.
Bronwyn's bare midriff like really bothered me more than it should have because I was just
I was just
imagining if someone at my bar mitzvah had a bare midriff, and I'm not trying to shame anyone. It just was like so wildly,
but it was perfect. It was perfectly appropriate for filming the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, but like for a religious ceremony, maybe not great, but also drinking cocktails.
Espresso martini.
And I'm just saying this doesn't necessarily line up with how this would have gone had it not been on camera, but also it was wonderful.
Yeah.
So this isn't a criticism. It was just like there are some LOLs, but also the single best moment of maybe any episode of any Housewives from last year, which is saying something because of Salt Lake City previous season, but Mary getting lost and like kind of peeking in.
She was like behind the Bima, like behind, like just kind of poking her head in. I thought that was
so funny. I laughed and laughed. It was so
Angie throwing
funny.
The napkin.
Huh?
Angie throwing the napkin after she's been kicked out. She throws a napkin up in the air and it just kind of falls behind her because like you can't throw a napkin. Every little detail was so perfectly calibrated. And so I think, but my point with Meredith is like she was kind of absent for a lot of the first half of the season, it felt like. And then she comes back swinging with some really great fights and also with her bat mitzvah, which was so important.
And also what I loved is we saw the third child. We saw Reed. Her mom came. Her sister came. Like this was a real bat mitzvah. It was just like it had the sheen of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City all over it, which is also delightful. So
which
it's
also
like
what I imagine a bar bat mitzvah in Salt Lake City would always be a little bit strange.
Yeah.
It's a weird place.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am. Yeah. So, okay. So in terms of Garcelle, to go back to that.
close the loop.
No, I mean, like what I will say is, I'm not saying she should be fired. I'm saying that the vibe I get from her right now is like it feels like a last season of her as a full-time housewife.
And P.S. sorry to cut you off, but I don't think she would be fired. I think she would leave.
That's all. Totally. Yeah. So, but I will eat those words end of season if I feel very differently.
And let's see who, I mean, I think the conspiracy theory continued conversation where she explicitly was like, Dorit wasn't involved, .. is, I think that's going to come up at the reunion and we'll see how hot it gets.
I feel very Erica Jane Dinner Party from Hell part whatever it was voice of like, do you want to get sued? Where I'm just like, be super careful with that.
who has the money to, I'm sure there are other lawyers who are trying to send Venmo requests unsuccessfully. Who's gonna sue her for what?
Well, PK. She's implying
he has
that...
his hands full.
Okay. I mean, like, I'm just saying.
With
it's
poker
like,
chips, maybe. I don't know. God bless him. I love him.
I'm not defending PK. I'm
a PK apologist.
Great. I'm just saying, like.
I really am, though.
God, you have to really, like.
I have a terrible taste
of
men.
I sort of winced when Dorit was sort of like, in the first episode, she was like, you know, basically, like, he was a raging alcoholic, and, like, that's why we.
My name is Dorit. She was like, my husband's an alcoholic. Yeah. Also, we haven't met before, so my name is Dorit.
But then PK was basically like, his version is like, I got sober and was like, what the hell am I doing in this marriage? And it was just, I was just like, oh, God, like, that's tough.
Yeah.
Do we think, I know that Jersey is an exception in terms of the husbands getting paid, but, like, Salt Lake City and Beverly Hills are having, like, these solo husband scenes where I'm like, they must be paying them.
Well,
Mauricio has to be getting paid because he's, I know his show got canceled, but, like, I assume he's getting paid to do Housewives.
I don't know if John Barlow is being paid individually, but after watching him unsuccessfully parallel park for about 35 seconds, he deserves a bonus.
A bonus, absolutely.
Absolutely did not know that that was him. And when he got out of the car, I was like, amazing.
But if the estranged, possibly soon to be ex-husbands of two cast members are filming a solo scene together, do we think they're getting paid? I feel like they are.
Well, that's always the thing that's kind of weird. And Housewives are cagey when they talk about it, where it's like, it seems like there's an agreement usually between a housewife and her husband of like, okay, I'm going to give you like 20% or something, where they kind of figure it out. It's sort of, money is distributed.
You get paid as a family.
Right.
And the show started very much as a family. The whole franchise started as a family show. So you're getting a family, the family's getting paid or whatever. I think Jersey has been noted as being an exception, even though they don't talk about it publicly, of like those, like, you know, Joe Gorga was getting a paycheck.
100%.
But I've been curious about, you know, to get these solo scenes with the men on Salt Lake City and especially Beverly Hills, because they're men who are separated from their wives. And in the case of Mauricio, someone who had a different reality show he was filming for, like, they must be getting a separate paycheck.
I don't think about it in terms of Salt Lake City, no disrespect, but I don't think any of those guys are getting paid.
Probably not.
But Beverly Hills, it's a question of absolutely are they getting paid, but, like, should PK still be filming? Do we want him to still be filming? How is this going to work with PK and Mauricio? Like, the scene of them as bros counseling each other, I get it. Like, I completely understand it, but how far into this are they gonna? I guess it sort of depends on what happens with any possible decisions that are gonna be are gonna be made about whether or not it's a long-term separation or papers are filing or they reconcile.
I
don't see for either couple.
No, they're never getting back together. I didn't mind the scene of them together, but I don't really need that to be an ongoing thing throughout the season. The Mauricio and PK scene.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be, I don't know how Dorit and PK are going to handle this, but I think things are, well, we've seen how, you know, we've seen a little bit. I don't know how this is going to go, but I also think it sort of depends on what happens if papers are filed with Sutton has done her level best to be like, you're in for a world of hurt, which nobody wants to see in the cast, certainly, but just with a little bit of a financial wake up call.
I'm sorry to bring up Potomac again, but it's been interesting with Stacey because she's going through a divorce.
Oh, right.
And like, that's been a thing on the show of Giselle. I think it was Giselle and Karen being like, hey, you probably don't know what to expect about divorce and how it's going to cost you big and all of that.
Wait, you said Karen said that?
Karen's never been divorced.
Oh, because she was
married to someone else, no? Or was she not?
Maybe. She could have been.
I think it was Karen and Giselle.
Okay.
But it was just a similar situation of Stacey being like, you know, we're still a family. Like,
love wins.
He'll never come for me that way. And
right.
then going to mediation and being like, wow, that was really tough. It's interesting that's happening. But yeah, I actually, now I'm like really curious about what happens with the estranged spouses of housewives who film, or like on Married to Medicine, like Apollo filming multiple episodes, like must be getting paid. Because it's not like he and Phaedra are sharing a bank account.
100%. And he's on this season?
Mm-hmm. He goes on the cast trip. It hasn't happened yet, but.
And is he dating someone?
Yeah. I think he might be married. I don't know. That hasn't happened yet. And I might be like one behind or two behind even. Okay. But in the trailer for the season, he goes on the cast trip.
You got to come back. I have to catch up on Potomac, Southern Charm, Married to Medicine.
I don't watch Southern Charm, but...
No, but sorry.
For yourself, yeah.
Yeah, for me. And then maybe just like, just start to dig another hole for New York and just do it 4 episodes at
just
a time.
Just like rip the Band-Aid off.
How many more episodes are left? Like one, right?
No, it's like... I saw the episode number and I was like, that can't be right. I have to like look it up now.
It's gotta be 12. We're at like 12. I don't think we are. I think we're at like 5, but it feels like 30.
Housewives of New York.
You need to come back to talk about Married to Medicine because I'm not loving this journey.
Season, so I'm very no. curious. Yeah.
No. I don't know if it's just me though.
I want you to let me know because I only have a couple of friends who watch. It's not really doing it for me. Okay, Real Housewives of New York. When we come back,
oh god,
after this hiatus, which is going to be January 7th, episode 13.
Oh, I was right.
How is that possible though? It feels like it's been on for.
But it also feels like it could be 4 because we live in a bad place.
We have episode 13 and 14. I'm not seeing anything below that. But
how many minutes is the reunion going to be? If they pretend that it's a 2-parter, I will die.
I think it'll be a 2-parter.
I mean, like at a certain point, can you kind of like wink? Like, can Andy wink and be like, I know that this season wasn't super well received. Critics were divided about this season. Like, do you even acknowledge that this was bad?
At the reunion?
Yeah.
I think that they will. I think that the things that he's going to press them on are show. Like, I think, first of all, he's actually pretty good at like these come to Jesus conversations at reunions. Like, I feel like at Potomac, he tried that last season of like, you guys have to figure it out because it's not working. It's not fun to watch this as is. Mm-hmm. I don't see how he doesn't bring up some of the stuff in terms of like Brynn's overproducing, for example, and like,
oh, you think he would?
Well, they put it in the show, so it's like, you don't think he'll mention that like Brynn was like coaching Becky on how to fight with her, or that like her fight with Uba was about like her telling Uba how to act on camera?
I don't know.
I think that'll be something that he brings up. I don't know.
Well, the teaser for the next episode is Uba, I guess, allegedly says Brynn only got her job because she'd be fucking.
Yeah.
Which, let's watch that play out. That's, like, kind of interesting.
I guess.
I hate it. I hate it so much. But I love this episode. This was such a blast. This was a blast from the past.
A blast from the past. And we covered all of the shows that... We even covered Potomac. Even I unfortunately spoiled you for some things. But, you know, the joy is in watching it. So...
Yeah, I guess I won't be as... surprised.
Sorry.
When...
Oh, the Mia thing.
Mia calls... minor children.
Well, we don't see her children do that, at least. But
oh, so she did. We don't see it.
No, we do. We don't see her use that word.
Oh, okay, got it.
They definitely cut that. But yeah, we mentioned it all.
We did mention it all. So kudos to us for this fabulous 2-parter. Louis Peitzman, tell the AGs what you got cooking. Mention it all. Where to follow you on social? The red box thing that I never understand. Tell us everything.
Well, I am currently freelancing, so if you want me to write for you about Bravo or anything else, hit me up. And I am on Letterboxd, as Sarah said, but also on Blue Sky, which I use now instead of Twitter/X. I still have an account, but I don't post to it. Louis Peitzman on Blue Sky.
Love.
It's a little bit less. It's a little bit less terrible than Twitter.
It's a little bit Alexis.
A little bit Alexis.
I'm into it. I'm into it. You guys, as mentioned earlier in this double episode, there are 4 new Patreon episodes out now. A Satchel Spectacular, where I talk about your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Ben-Simone, which you can DM to me on Instagram at Dame Galley, or send me a thesis email, andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. Reactions to all things Paige and Craig. May their 3-year relationship be a blessing. They broke up. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And I listened prior to recording to Paige and Hannah's podcast episode where they talk about it, which I thought was they did a really great job talking about it and having a larger conversation, which I genuinely highly recommend. And then I talked about something else on one of the episodes too. Oh, and I do a live reaction to the Summer House trailer because I hadn't seen it and thought to myself, how am I going to talk about Paige and Craig and not have seen the Summer House trailer? Because I feel like that could influence some of my thoughts on Paige and Craig. And in fact, yes, there is some conversation in the trailer about Paige and Craig. So you can listen to those episodes now. Number one way to support the pod by joining the AG Patreon at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Best New Year's resolution is to sign up. $2 gets you my love and thanks. $5 a month is where the episodes kick in. You get 2 episodes a month. $10 a month, you get 4. And there's a premium tier called the People's Couch where you can record a Patreon episode with yours truly or have a private Zoom kiki. And again, that's Patreon. Patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. We've been recording for a minute. I usually do a I just edited something out that I forgot about. Suffice it to say, hold on, what was I gonna say? Suffice it to say, I just wanted to say I know the holidays are over, so now we're back to just officially hating everything ever in the world, my favorite place to be. But I just wanted to say thanks to everybody for sending so many kind words. I'm working my way through the DMs on Instagram and have just been like overwhelmed with a lot of love and support following the passing of my dad, and people just sharing their own stories and how they've processed and worked through and accepted grief in its myriad many forms. And I'm just incredibly thankful and appreciative, and want to say thanks to the AGs for continuing the journey here in the clawfist on the People's Couch, which is not technically in the clawfist, but in my living room, but you know what I'm saying. Just want to thank everyone. And I am excited to have some great episodes to come. That's my resolution for 2025, is to continue cackling one little giggle at a time. Okay. They have the giggly squad. We should have the cackle squad.
Perfect.
Where people just yell at me about my laugh while cackling, is what I would say we should do. Anyway, hope everyone had a happy and healthy new year. Thanks again for being AGs. Send me your thoughts and feels. Are you loving New York? I mean, shocking. I love a counter. You know, I love a counter. I love a opinion separate from my own, because those are some of my favorite conversations to have. So send me your satchels. DM me your thoughts and feels on anything we discussed over this podcast or anything you're watching. And I'm excited to read and respond and continue to record. So on that note, thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.